Well, good morning, everybody. I don't know about all of you, but I really wonder what's happening in the Georgia Ballroom down there, hearing how many people are going down there. So thank you for attending this session. This is Explore Windows 10 in Education. My name is Craig Ashley. I'm a product manager on the Windows team from Seattle. What I focus on is strategy within the education space on the product side. So a lot of the stuff that we'll talk about today or we'll show you today are things that we've kind of brought forward over the course of Windows 10. My goal is to do this through a little bit of slideware and then try to show you live some of this stuff. The way that the schedule was supposed to work was this session was supposed to come first, and then there was a deeper dive yesterday on Setup School PCs, WICD, Wicked Tool, those types of things was supposed to come second. So you'll see a little bit in common with that session on those two pieces if you attended those yesterday. Throughout the presentation as well, all of the things that I've talked about, I have links in there to some stuff that we've put up on TechNet and some live demonstrations which we made out of Office Mixes. So there is some follow-up content that you can see linked from the presentation which you can download off of the site as well. And I'll show some of that as we go through here. So I'm going to skip a slide here and head up to this one. The anniversary update, which just came out, has a lot of great stuff that was focused on and created specifically for education. I don't know about some of you guys, but over the past, what we did a lot of times was we talked about stuff that came in Windows and how it was good for education. This time around, what we really focused on was we had engineering efforts that looked at the problems that you guys were telling us about and created specific features and functionalities that we're continuing to work on as we move forward. And those are the ones that are highlighted on here. I have some demonstrations of each of these that we'll go through briefly throughout the presentation. Inking is a big piece in schools, and there's a lot of work, obviously, that's done on inking that we do out of the operating system and that is also good on a variety of devices. A lot of that isn't education specific. There's some apps, and I'll show you a couple of those where inking's pretty good from a school perspective here. As we look towards this slide, which is in there as well, there was a lot of stuff that came out in Windows 10, and that's the launched row there, things to look at. There were things that we improved through what was the November update, or the update to Windows 10 that came out in November of last year, and that's kind of in the middle space there. And then there are some of these new features and functionalities. These are the ones that are coming out, or did come out in 16.07, which was the anniversary update. So some of the things we'll talk specifically about today, do you need the anniversary update to use? Take a test specifically is one of those, which is tied to the update that came through. So let's switch gears here. The first couple demos that I'm going to show are kind of starting in the classroom. It's things that are good that you could use as presentations, teachers can use, and then we'll get into the more IT focus or the simplified deployment and the pieces that we did across those areas as well. So from an inking perspective, there are a lot of things that came through. The ink workspace is what I want to demo for you here briefly. And so what you'll see, this is a Surface device, has the pen with it. But what I want to show you is the ink workspace. One of the nice things about this ink workspace for education is there's some pretty cool stuff in it, like a ruler. And there are more templates like that are going to be coming as we continue to move forward. The ability for developers or ISVs, Fluid Math, I'll show you, it's not in there yet, but some other ones to include this ink workspace within their application is only a couple lines of code. So there's really easy ways to get some of this functionality within there. So what I'm simply going to do is click on my pin here. We'll get closer. And the ink workspace, if we're working here, should pop up. And this simply pops up here. And I just want to show you a couple things here. One of the things we hear is there aren't necessarily enough apps or applications for a pen to be a worthwhile, usable capability. And one of the things that has been done within this ink workspace is to show things that you've recently used that could be or do use a pen or ink. The bottom one are some suggestions. If I clicked on the bottom there, it would take me to the Windows Store, and it would show applications that are currently pen-enabled. So there's some easy ways to see what will work. Now, the one thing I just wanted to show you really quickly to show you that ruler functionality of how this works is the sketch pad, and it's the one right below the sticky notes there. When I open that, it just goes to a whiteboard. And so this is nice if we're sitting here and needing to do some presentations in the front of a classroom or do something like that, or then save it to OneNote. But what you'll see is when I simply put my pen there, it works relatively well. Now, the Ink toolbar is what can be integrated in applications, third-party ISVs as well as Microsoft first-party. And you'll see that right across at the top here. There's a ruler one, and that's what I'm going to click here. Now, the cool thing about this was something the Ink team worked on, but also the Shell Inputter, the Touch team as well. This ruler is on the device itself, and I can manipulate it using a variety of means. So if I use one finger here, and I simply move it like this, it just moves the ruler around. I can use two fingers, and I can manipulate the ruler like I would in real life. So you'll see we can simply move it around like this. Now, the other thing that is nice with that as well is it's connected to the pen. So if you can imagine I'm trying to draw some type of a specific shape here, all I need to do is get my pen right on the edge there and start drawing along it, and you'll notice that it draws this razor sharp edge across there. So this is functionality that we're working with other ISVs to bring into applications that you're likely using in your school deployments today, or teachers may be using as well. Now, if we'll just show one of these applications. This is Fluid Math. If you haven't seen this one yet, it is in the store. It's been there since Windows 8. They've done a great job. If you use, or you have teachers or professors who are using those complex graphing calculators today, check out this application. There's the free trial through the Windows Store. There's some really phenomenal stuff that this does really simply. But the idea here is I simply just start writing on here, and there's some nomenclature that I have to be able to use. But if I want to write on this application, and we'll see if it'll work for me here, there's some nomenclature that I have to use to get it to work here. But you'll notice it's done the math for me when I've written it on there. So for teachers who are trying to show math or learning math, this goes all the way up to linear algebra and some other things. My oldest son is 16 years old. He's in some incredibly hard math as a sophomore. He came home one day and had his graphing calculator, and I pulled up YouTube in this app to do some math to try to figure out what he was doing. But this can show graphs, you can change variables, all sorts of things in real life. So there's some really nice outcomes that can come when you take some of the functionality that's in the operating system and some really great applications such as this one from Fluid Math here. So now the next one, this is kind of the last user focus thing to use in the classroom, or could be used in presentations or other situations as well. In the Windows 8 timeframe, we brought a couple capabilities to Windows called wireless display. It was using Miracast, which is an industry standard for displaying wirelessly. We have them connected in the room here. We can project to those. But the nice thing that this does with the classroom is it untethers your professors from the front of the classroom, or your teachers if you're in K-12 from the front of the classroom as well, by allowing them to take their device and move around the room, help children, but still project to the front of the classroom. And so it's pretty straightforward to use this functionality here. I'm going to switch back to my machine and just show you how it works in general here through a couple things. The first one would be if I wanted to do purely a wireless projection. So if I wanted to use Miracast, there's one of the Miracast dongles here. It's taped, so I'm going to untape and show you. There's these little boxes that you simply can connect through an HDMI port or something like that to a projector in the front of the classroom. The device itself then does the work. Through the notifications over here, if you're using Windows 10, you would simply click the project button, and then there's connect to a wireless display. And if I tap on that, what it's going to do is search for all the different things that I could connect to here. And you'll notice there's one of those, GWCC C302, that's that little Miracast connector that I pulled up over here. If I wanted to project wirelessly in this room, I would simply connect to that and project. Now, the other flip side of that is we heard from schools that said, well, I have some old infrastructure. I have projectors that don't have HDMI ports, don't have these types of things. I already have a PC that's connected to the front of the classroom to connect to that. How can you help me there? So the next iteration into that is PC to PC casting. And what that is that is the new ability that came out with 16.07, the anniversary update, to project between Windows 10 devices. So if you guys had Windows 10 devices and I wanted to share something with you, instead of projecting to the front of the classroom, what I would do is I would project what's on my machine to your device. And it's pretty straightforward, just like this Miracast projection piece. I would go into my settings here, and I would go into System and Devices, and you'll see down here there's this projecting to this PC. So if you have a classroom that's set up and you have a machine that is connected, plugged in physically to that projector, but the teacher still wants to roam around the room and project to the front of the classroom, he or she could now project from their device to that device that's connected to the front of the classroom. So there's some options there for you to set up with that, and you can see them on the screen here. There's a variety of things that we can do. We can put a PIN number in there so that if a student's trying to connect, it requires a PIN number to connect. We can also focus so that the person who's presenting, teacher, professor, has the control. And you'll see this. I'm going to connect. My other PC to connect with isn't functioning incredibly well this morning, so I'm going to connect with my phone and cross my fingers that it works here. So what I'm simply going to do is press the projection on my phone here. And it does show up my PC, so hopefully we'll see here. I'm going to try to project to that. You'll notice down in the bottom right, it says, allow Craig's Lumia to project. And this is a application that's on the device you'll see pop up here, which is this one that came up. It is the PC projection app, which allows other PCs and my phone. And as long as it finalized connecting, it did here. So what you'll see is you see the start screen on my device here, on my phone, and I'm simply using my phone then as the mouse for this. But this works just the same with any other device, like a PC or PC, to do that. So that is PC-to-PC casting. This capability does require 16.07 to be projected to, which is the anniversary update. However, if you're running other Windows 10 devices, those will project to it and work just as well. So let me block out of that here. Close that out and switch back. All right, now let's switch gears. Those were some things for the general classroom. The rest of the stuff we'll focus on today was to make certain tasks that you guys are setting up that you have to do in schools easier or simpler. And the first one of those is take a test. Take a test is a functionality that we created and rolled out for one specific reason to begin with, and that was secure assessments. Here in the United States and some other locales, a lot of K-12 institutions have to yearly give a standardized test. Typically happens in April, May, June. These types of things happen in a whole bunch of different situations. And on previous versions of Windows, there are some different hoops that had to be jumped through to set that up. Take a test looks to make that much simpler, to be able to allow secure assessments, standardized assessments, in a simpler format. The nice thing that came out of that was not just those secure assessments, but formative assessments. Assessments that teachers will give on an ongoing basis, a math test, something that's online, a form, Microsoft form. We can utilize that here as well. And what it'll do is it'll block all the periphery. It'll block the other applications from being able to be opened on those formative tests, just like it does on the high stakes assessment piece here. Now to click through this one, some of the things that it's doing, these are things that we've worked specifically with the test assessment providers for to say, what do we have to do to allow a secure assessment to take place? And I'm sure many of you may have seen this at all different levels of education. I taught 5 years as a fifth grade teacher back in New Jersey public schools in the early 2000s. We were giving paper tests at that time. The stress with giving one of these either digitally or through paper is very high. The principal would come around with a card of tests. She would hand them to me. I would count all 25 of them, sign off that I took these tests, that I wouldn't read them, do those types of things. And then at the end of the day, she would come back and I'd have to give her 25 back. If I gave her 24, which never happened, if I gave her 24, there could have been issues leading up to termination because of the security associated with that. Now, take that to the digital world and think, what do we have to do to secure that type of a situation? These are the things that have to be done, and other stuff behind the scenes here. Right? A lot of these things cannot be allowed to happen, or that test could be invalidated as insecure. And I don't have virtual machines run up to show this live, but to show it live, you have to do that because these things are in place. So I can't be running this Take a Test app and show you over the screen here because it's blocked. We're not allowed to do those things with these standardized assessments. And a variety of other things here that are listed have to happen to make that a secure environment as well. So let me take you through a couple of the screenshots here. The first one is, I have a big deployment. How am I going to set this up broadly for schools? And there are a couple of ways. What we have shown here is through Intune. In essence, if you were at the session where we talked a little bit about this yesterday, Take a Test is built off of the same idea as Assigned Access, which is locking into a single application. It's using the Edge engine as the browser that locks into that URL that's provided for the test. To push this out broadly, there's a couple things that would need to be happened. And you see these OMA URI settings down here. This same thing can be done in System Center with a very similar format as well. The idea is that you're going to create a policy, which is the Take a Test settings policy. And you have to add a couple things here. Set up Take a Test. And then we have to add the URL that we're going to point to. And you'll see this as we click in a little bit further here. This first one is the Assigned Access policy. We have all this documented. I'll show you online in just a second on TechNet where all of this stuff is documented. But this is setting up the policy for the Take a Test. And then this is putting in the specific URL. This Take a Test will lock into any URL that's provided utilizing this functionality. There are some things we'll talk about in just a minute. If we're using something else that doesn't support a JavaScript lockdown API that we use for this, there's a little bit of information that you put in at the beginning of the URL and at the end for Take a Test to pop up and lock into that setting. Once this is done, it's simply pushed out to all of the devices in your organization that you would want this set up for. And then what happens on the student side of this, who's taking this or whoever's taking this, is that they simply see a test account that they would need to log into. And when they do that, it pops up into that specific assessment. This one is the AIR online kind of experimental test that you can use here. They would simply put in their ID and log in like they normally would, and then exit when they're finished. Right now, we're working through the process because this anniversary update just came out to get certification. We've been working with AIR and SBAC on this. We're working with states for those as well. We're continually in the process of talking to other vendors as well. It becomes a discussion with them to make sure we're meeting all of their needs, both here in the US as well as internationally. So there's a big list of ISVs that are these testing vendors, such as AIR, SBAC, that we're currently working with to make sure that this can be the functionality that they would suggest be used when you're using Windows for testing purposes here. Now let me switch gears and show you, that was the broad way to kind of turn this on. If you have a small deployment, or you have a small school or just a classroom that you want to set something up for this, and you have 10, 15 devices and you don't have a management infrastructure, it can still be set up pretty easily on the device itself. And let me click through here. It's all controlled in the settings applications here. And so as we click through, I went through devices, went to accounts, and then access work or school here. And you'll notice that there's a setting on the bottom here which says set up an account for taking tests. That's the way I would do this on a device if I wanted to go through and do it device by device, to have an account set up to give these tests. So simply click on this here. And you notice there's some information, but it says choose an account. What I would have done ahead of time is have a local account set up for this, and I called that the Take a Test account. And then I simply connect on that, and I would input that same URL that I showed you on the management page there into this location. And then this device would have a ticket test account set up to point to that URL. And it would work very easily in a few clicks on this device as well. One thing that is interesting about this is TakeATest is what we call a headless application. Because it's for administrative and delivering of tests, it doesn't show up as an app on a device. So you can't search through and find it. It's only in the settings. It doesn't appear like a normal application. It's on Pro and Above right now. So that means if you have a device running the anniversary update and it has any version of Pro or Above, TakeATest is included in that right now. Always get the question, well, why is it not on Home? It relies on some infrastructure that's not currently in the Home Edition, some MDM policies and a couple other things that aren't there. It's a discussion point we're continuing on so that TakeATest would be broadly across all Windows editions from anniversary update and beyond.
And are you addressing that because of the homeschooling?
So the question was, are we addressing that because of homeschooling? It's been a request for a variety of reasons. There are schools that do BYOD as well. And when they do allow BYOD, a lot of schools do specify you need this or this or this. However, Home is the least expensive edition to buy on devices. And it's the one that is very readily and easily available at Best Buy or some box location like that as well. So the BYOD scenario, which also would kind of cover that homeschooling, would be a driver there as well. Yes? So the question was, do we see anybody using this in VDI? We have a wish list of things. I don't have them up here. Remote sessions is the number one ask we've had from a couple of the vendors to support, and we're in process of identifying what we have to do to support that. There are some things because like I was just showing up here, you can't project, you can't do some things. So the current version of this in anniversary update right now won't work because of some of those lockdowns. We're working through what do we have to do to make that work. We do know there's a subset of schools that are deploying testing in that manner. So the last one here, this is an interesting one, and they showed a little bit in the session yesterday, but if we want to think of that other half of what I mentioned, we built this for secure assessments, which are the standardized testing. There's this other half of this, which is teachers give online assessments in class all the time. Sometimes they'd like to put that in this lockdown format. Sometimes they might not. So this is simply running through the scenario here. If you're a school that uses OneNote, the OneNote class notebook creator, a teacher could easily create a tab on here and give quizzes or assessments on an ongoing basis. What I have is the example that I've created here is we have OneNote, we have the week open, and there's a link to a quiz in here. The quiz is a Microsoft Forms. It could be Google Forms, it could be any type of an online assessment that the teachers created and linked here for the student to take in this TakeATest functionality. Now what you'll notice right now, this is the first iteration of this. There's some information here that needs to be added to the beginning of that URL and to the end of that. And we've put it right up there. It's a document on TechNet as well, but it's this ms.edu secure assessments and then this lockdown piece at the end. What that does is it opens TakeATest when that link is created. It tells the operating system to do that. We're doing some additional work as we move forward to make this a simpler piece. Right? We know that a teacher doesn't want to have to put these things at the beginning and the end. So there's some work that we're looking at, feedback we've received already to say, how can you make this simpler, an easier way, such as using something like the share charm and have TakeATest pop up there. So we're working to simplify that process of creating that, as well as working with the Forms team, Microsoft Forms team, to have a capability within Microsoft Forms that says, would you like this to be a TakeATest as well? So there's some more user experience, simpler user experience feedback we've received that we're looking to integrate into this as well. But if the student simply clicks on that link, it opens up the form. It opens up the form or whatever link is there into this secure TakeATest capability where the student can't open other applications or do other types of things. With that assessment. So let me switch gears and just show you really quickly. I won't show you for all of these just from a timing perspective, But within each of these sections where we have documentation that's listed, I've put up a couple things, if we have it, that are available here. Typically, it's a link to the TechNet page that shows how do you use this and how do you set it up. And then for a few of these, I mentioned we created a live mix video, which steps through a demo of this through Office Mix. And so on the TechNet page here, when you link to the initial one, you'll notice we've done a load of work here in TechNet to document how things work for education. How can you deploy? What are the things that are more specific to education that are different from SMB or IT? And you'll see this on the left here, a whole bunch of options there of documentation for some of these features and other things as well. I'm simply going to click through a couple of them here to show you. The first one is we have a variety of deployment documentation, such as deploy in a school, a little bit simpler way to deploy. We have another one which goes to deploy to a district, which is now let's bring in some more complicated infrastructure that we need because we have networking infrastructure that we have to support on a broader basis as well. We just talked about take a test. So this link has all of that documentation on the take a test piece about how do you do it, how do you deploy it. So some of the things we said down there about learn to deploy, learn how to set up on single PCs or on multiple PCs, all that's documented there as well. Again, a link to the Office Mix site and other locations as well. And again, we'll talk about the rest of these, but Setup School PCs has the same capabilities there, both on how you use it, as well as the Wicked tool that we'll talk about. So a lot of documentation that was created early on, and that's one of our goals here as well, as we look through the Insider Preview program and we see new features coming into these builds, we wanna have it documented up here as well to let you guys who are gonna test it to see if it makes sense for your organizations in an earlier fashion. We did a pretty good job this time around, probably the first time on the education side, by documenting each of these at a high level quite a bit before anniversary update came out, so we could get some feedback, some usability, and everybody could start getting a look at it here in an early time frame. So the next one here, Setup School PCs app. And this is shared windows in schools. There were really a few things that we looked to do here. We heard a lot of pain throughout Windows 8 and 10 about how do I use Windows in a shared device setup? I have users who need to log into multiple devices. They may use this device once and log into another one. We have carts, we have labs, those types of things. So the work that was done here is twofold. Part of it was to simplify that setup through creating an app that could be downloaded from the Windows Store and clicked through very simply. The other half of this are all the policies that work behind that as well, which is allowing users to log in more quickly. It's cleaning those devices, doing a bunch of stuff on the back end to make sure that this is a nice, simple, easy to deploy type of scenario here. Let me build these up and just show you some of those specific things. A few things that it does do. And if you were in the other session, you'll know that most of these can be overwritten through other policies, through MDM or group policies here. But those things are listed on the page here. This is what this app that I'll show you does to set these devices up in a shared PC mode for education. It's doing a variety of things here, such as customizing the start screen, blocking a variety of other things that we've heard from you guys who would like to be blocked, such as Microsoft accounts. It is, we'll go back to that. The improved sign-in performance is due to a variety of things that we do in terms of app registration or removing some apps that don't need to be on the device in the first place. And then finally, this last one, this maintaining device performance. If you're deploying a low-spec device, a 232 device, those are the devices that we've used to build this functionality. You'll know that as more students log in and more profiles are created, if you don't have a policy in place to wipe profiles or to manage system resources, stuff starts slowing down. What this policy does is kind of like accounting with a first in, first out. If there's a profile, say it was profile 1, and profile 6 starts hitting some resource constraints, it's going to start removing those early policies that are breaking those resource constraints. And we have a variety of pieces that we've documented online that show what are these resource constraints, memory, disk space, those types of things, local cached data, those types of things. And so the goal there is that profile 6, 7, 8, all of those profiles, everybody's going to be logged in, and Windows is going to continue to run well over time with those policies in place there. So let me show you the Setup School PC app quickly here, which sets up these specific policies. Easiest way to get this is simply to go to the Windows Store and search Setup School PCs. And when I search for that, you'll notice that it comes up here. And I already have it installed on the device, but it's simply downloaded from the Windows Store. It's a universal Windows platform application. Now, once I have it downloaded, I have the app which is up here. It really is only a few steps to do this. And then, of course, what we would suggest in this scenario is that if you have MDM or some other management provider set up on the back end, that's how you'd push applications, or you do other policies, or you'd change some of the policies that this put in place if you want to. So simply walking through here in these steps, the first one says, use this app to create, and we'll hit start. And there's a couple options here. The first one says, how do I want to set this up for devices? If I click yes, it's going to allow users to log in anonymously, to simply click in and use this device in this shared PC format with a profile. If I click no, it's going to require all users to use a login. Now, this scenario was set up for cloud domain join or utilizing Azure Active Directory with it. The Wicked tool, which I'll show you in just a minute, focuses on traditional domain join. So in this scenario, you have an Azure Active Directory account set up. And once this process is set up, any user in your organization with an AAD account can log into this device and get these benefits once it's provisioned. So I'm going to simply click yes here and click next. Now the next step is to choose a network for the student PCs. And if this is working correctly, it'll search for the Wi-Fi networks that are here. The one which is the broad one here is the Microsoft Wi-Fi. So I would simply do that and put in the password. You'll notice at the bottom here, if I have a hidden network account, I can manually enter that, so I can put in the ID and the password as well. If there's something that you guys have that's set up as a management domain or something you need it connect to for some reason or another, that's a capability that can be set up through this process as well. Then I click next. It simply tells me to insert the USB drive here. It recognizes it. And then I'll click save. And this will take just a minute because I have a really slow drive. I was doing it this morning. But what this is doing is it's creating a provisioning package. Provisioning packages are something that came in more in the Windows 10 timeframe. It was a way of looking to set devices up without having to re-image them. So this is going to create a provisioning package with that set of shared PC policies on it that I'll apply with a USB drive to a net new device. The goal here was to help me not have to re-image a whole bunch of devices. But if I have 30 devices or some set of devices that I get off the shelf, I can simply use this package through the out-of-box experience, apply it, and have those devices set up, ready to go, and join to a domain. So let me show you really quickly here. I can show you a couple steps of this process. My machine wakes up here. This is a device that I have set up at that out-of-box experience. So what I was just mentioning, once I have my provisioning pack on my device, and I have these devices set up and ready to go here, as long as this package is good on this device. We did some engineering with this update that came out to recognize provisioning packages. There used to be this secret handshake. When you put a USB in to apply the package, it was the Windows key 5 times, and it would search for this provisioning package. With the anniversary update, we did work to allow that UBI out of box to recognize there's a provisioning package there. So this works for any provisioning package on a USB drive that you've created. It simply says, you know, to set up your device, we'll help you install this here. Do you want to do that? So we'll click Setup. Now there are a multitude of steps that you'll see here in the anniversary update still. I have to select the removable media. That's what the package is named on the USB drive itself, so I'll click Next. There's a couple other things. It says applying those settings, but there's some things here that it's going to ask me for as well. Do you trust this? Yes, add it. There's a couple more steps here it's going to ask. It asks me to accept terms. Click accept. Must not have liked the network I put in there. Or the password maybe didn't work, so it's asking me for that. If I had hit the correct password in there, then it should have accepted it as part of the USB package and put that through. Now, as long as this is going to continue to work, I'll give it a second here. It's going to add or ask for one more step. The last kind of step in this process is to add a AD account. So this would be an administrative AD account, Azure Active Directory account, that will be used for connecting to those devices. Now, once that device has rolled through and started on first run and you log out, then that is gone. That local Azure Active Directory account has been removed, and any new user who logs in will get the benefits of this device. Yeah, it looks like I'm having Wi-Fi network issues to finish this. But that's the process. Once this would go through, it'd be about 5 or 10 minutes to connect this. It would log into Windows. I'd simply log out, close it down, put it in the cart or whatever location that I would want to have this device ready to go, and it would be set up in this shared PC mode. And we'll see if I have the final click through here. This is the one we didn't get to because we couldn't connect to the Wi-Fi. So I had some screenshots in here. These are in the PowerPoint that's online as well. This is that piece which it would look at for the person who's setting up this to put in that account. It could be any of those AD accounts. And then once that goes through and logs in and does this process, you get back to the lock page, which is where, again, any AD user, once this has completed, would be able to log into that device and get those benefits. There are a couple things. We talked about a little bit about it in the session yesterday. The improvements are significant on first login utilizing this shared PC, CSP, or the shared PC policy. That policy is set up with the Setup School PC app. It can also be set up with the Wicked tool, the image configuration designer. It's also a CSP, so it can be pushed through management capabilities as well. So if you're using other forms of management and this is a policy that you want to set up, it can be deployed more broadly outside of this provisioning package capability here as well. Improvements on our low-spec devices have been significant. The first time AAD logins on anniversary update on those, again, those are the 232 devices, are sub 30 seconds. Now, compared with 1511 or November update, that's 200+% improvement there. Our goal is to continue to improve that first login experience. Second logins are in that 6 or 7 second range. So if a student or someone has logged in and their profile's already on that device, then they log in very, very quickly utilizing that shared PC CSP. So let's switch gears. I mentioned that the Setup School PC app does a simplified process when you're using Azure Active Directory as the method for identity and for join. The Imaging and Configuration Designer has been around since Windows 10. It was a very IT-focused workflow in that time frame. And so what we've done here is we've looked to simplify some of those pieces and created a school-specific workflow, which has questions in it about, do you want to deploy this as a shared PC, which we just talked about? Do you want to take a test to each of those devices? And then it's a simple workflow there as well to do that. So let's switch gears here again and show you that tool. Now, the one thing about this is currently part of the Windows ADK. So to get to it, and I'll show you a screenshot of that in just a minute, you go to the Windows Assessment Deployment Kit, and you can now only download this piece of it, which saves a lot of disk space and time downloading, only the configuration designer to get you to this. But what was there in the old world was really this advanced provisioning workflow. Now there's a couple other pieces, the simple and the provision school devices. And the provision school devices is the one that I want to kind of show you the steps here as well. So we simply have to name it. And then it will open up in just a minute here. Make it a little bigger. And you'll notice that similar to that Setup School PCs, it's about 5 steps or so it's simplified. We've added the things that we heard were important to deploy devices in school through here. setting up the device, which is giving it a device name. If you're joining Active Directory domain, then you can put in, you know, a random piece here so that it will generate random numbers for those devices or do some type of specific naming. Different here as well. If you're buying off-the-shelf devices or you get pro devices to begin with, which and need to upgrade that, there is a way here as part of this process to upgrade a pro device to an education edition or enterprise edition. And that's simply by putting in your VL key here to do that. And as part of the process, it'll upgrade it to the version of Windows that you would want. The next step is to set up the network. And so this is very similar to what we showed you here as well. You can put in the network SID, pick the specific type, and put a password in there. Most domain joins aren't necessarily going to use this Wi-Fi network, so we can turn that off as well. A lot of times when we domain join, we connect it via the Ethernet port to do that. And so that would be connected at domain join time. To add the Active Directory credentials here, you'll see there's a workflow for this as well, which goes through, put in domain name, username, password. You can create a local administrator account. We do link here. We suggest at least privileged, obviously, domain account for this, and it'll link to some TechNet documentation that talks about what does that look like and what are the suggestions for that. And then these are the specific school settings that are part of this provisioning workflow as well. The first one is to configure devices for shared use. If you want to apply that shared PC CSP as part of this process, this is where it would happen. When it's clicked on yes, it'll apply those policies just like we talked about them through the Setup School PC app. And then if I want to configure a test-taking account, take a test, this is where I would do it as part of this as well. I would put the user account in there, and then I would put the test web address that would be applied as part of that process as well. And then when this package goes through, if I have both of those clicked as yes, it's going to apply those policies and we'll be ready to go with that functionality. Now the final one here is simply to finish this. And so we simply go through here. Because I didn't put a lot of information in there, you'll notice at the bottom it says we found some validation errors. It's because I didn't put the information in. But if I look over at the left here, it's going to have those highlighted as yellow saying, we think you've made some mistakes here. If you apply this package, you'll end up in a bad state, or the package may not apply at all. So this was really one of the first steps in looking at the provisioning workflow and saying, we don't think you have the right information. Go back and please take a look and verify or correct that. I would simply click finish. I'd have my USB drive that I could put that on and apply it as well. There's a bunch of different ways to apply provisioning packages. We have quite a few of those documented online. First run, that out-of-box experience with a USB drive is one of those. You can apply it through PC settings on each device. You can do some other types of things, like email these around or do some other things and have them clicked on and have them run as well. If the shared PC mode is running on a device, that device is locked down to where students can't add another provisioning package or they can't remove a provisioning package. So a variety of ways to get them on there. And if deployed as a shared device, we're blocking the removal of those as well as a few other things in that process as well. This was the one page as part of the ADK I mentioned. If you go to the Windows ADK site, you'll notice there's a whole bunch of stuff. And you used to download all of that. So it was a big package. It took some time. And then you'd go through and you'd only install what you wanted. Now you can look to only install the configuration designer, if that's the tool that you're interested in. And then you don't have a whole bunch of other pieces that are added to your all apps and all the other things that are part of this ADK package. Again, much smaller, easier, and it's only the tool that you need to use to deploy. Again, the resources are up there on TechNet showing you how to use that ICD tool. There's a little matrix up there that puts Setup School PC's app up against the ICD tool and says, you know, if I'm doing this is the one I want to use. If I'm doing this one, then this is likely one I want to use as part of that process as well. And then we do have a video demo which goes into much more detail about using the functionality. Now, one additional piece here, a little bit of work that we've done for a variety of reasons, and I'm going to simply show you this in the PC settings. This can be applied through management policies as well. It's called active hours. Now, what active hours allow you to do, and you'll see a setup on my PC here specifically, and go into the PC settings, update and security, and you'll notice the update settings here. Right in the center there are these change active hours. Now, one thing we've heard for a while is if I get an update, I don't want my device to update right in the middle of class, have a forced update during that time frame. What active hours does is it sets a time specifically that a device should not be forced to upgrade at all. So if you get an update, if it's a security update, anything like that, a device driver, anything that requires a reboot of that machine, it's going to happen outside of these hours. And that can be specified directly through management policies, and then you can block it from being changed by students who might go in there and do those types of things. But you notice Microsoft IT has our device set up not to do this update between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. So during class times, we wouldn't force that type of a reboot there. This was a pain point that we've heard across a variety of different deployment scenarios, not just within the education system, but certainly helps so that when I log into my device the first time, the second day of school, nothing happens from an update perspective if you're allowing those to come through there. All right, one of the last kind of general areas here is the Windows Store for Business. Now, the Windows Store for Business is the way for organizations to bulk purchase and deploy applications to users, or get applications for bulk deployment to their users, teachers, students, professors, anyone. And there's a variety of things up here that that kind of step through that. The one thing, even though it's still called Windows Store for Business, if you have an education Azure Active Directory tenant, then it will show an education-focused feature functionality, if you will. So it'll look more education-focused, but has the same capabilities, and you can get all the same applications that are available as part of that piece here. So let me switch gears and show you what that one looks like here. And I may have to re-log in here. But what you'll notice immediately if you have a normal Windows Store for Business, typically what happens or what pops up in these advertisement or showing areas are more business-focused applications. You'll notice here that this is focused on organization or education-specific capabilities here. So things like Khan Academy pop up here. Oh, yep, going to ask me to log in. Education-specific things pop up there in that carousel. Click back. And then as I scroll down through here, you'll notice that the sections here are also education-specific. So organize your classroom, some reference materials, science, connect and collaborate, math, art, those types of things. Any application that you still need that's not education-specific can still be searched and found, just like on the normal Windows Store for Business. This is just trying to pop up those applications that are more specific to education. And so if you go through and you look through here, there's a whole bunch of different options. Right now I'm on this shop tab here, which is where I can search and find a variety of applications. And if there's one of these that I'm interested in purchasing, we'll just try to find a free one here. We'll do Microsoft BI. I simply click on it. It'll bring up the PDP page, which is the product description page, and you'll notice there's a few things that pop up there right away. I can get the app, and when I do that, it'll apply it to my inventory, and I'll show you what the inventory looks like in just a minute. But a couple interesting things here. There's an online license, and there's an offline license. All applications, more or less, come with the online license. I can purchase that, and I can distribute it a link via email, or I can push that through MDM or some other mechanism. Offline's the one that it's up to the ISV to decide if they want to do that. Offline allows you to download that AppX package and install it as part of an image or push it through some other management tool based on what you want to do. In that model, organizations are responsible for managing their licenses. So if you bought 25 of them, then you're responsible for managing that. The online license is managed through the Windows Store capability. So that distinction will have some ISVs or some developers not allow their app to be offline. And so the reason I bring that up is, as you see online and offline, some will only show online as a result of that. I simply click get the app if I want it. And it is going to give me a message and let me know that it is applying it to my inventory. Eventually, as it goes through here. So it says, thanks for your order. It's been added to my inventory. Now, the way to verify this and to take next actions on this would be to go to the inventory. And so that is available through this manage settings. And there's a variety of things that I can do through here. The first one is I'll show you the inventory piece itself. If I click on inventory, and again, this is just a web page that I'm linking to and pulling down here, you'll notice that it was added right here to the inventory. The data was modified. It's not in my private store. Windows Store for Business and Windows policies allow you to create a tab specific for your organization. That's called the private store. There's policies for applying that and for creating that. What that will allow you to do is if you have student or teacher or anyone's devices and they open up the Windows Store, if you let them see all the rest of the Windows Store, the last tab on there is going to say private store. You can name it what you want it to be. If it's your school or your university, that would be the name of your private store. You could block the rest of the Windows Store piece from being shown, and only that tab could pop up. That means if you let all users simply access these private store applications, that's where they could go to navigate and download specifically for their device. And I can simply, over through the actions on this page, I can simply click on that, and you'll notice that here's where I can take some actions on it. I can add it to the private store. Now note, there's a time lag from when I add this via here in my private store to when it really shows up. It's typically 24 hours or more. And when I add it, it'll give me that message and say, this won't be available in the private store for some period of time. I can also view the license details, which shows me how many of these have I assigned. If I have a paid app, then that's very important to know who I've assigned it to, because there's some limit on the number of those that I can deploy. I can assign it to people specifically. So if I have my AD synced up, to this, then it will sync and I can pick people specifically to add it to as well. And then I can link back to the PDP page for showing that. If the app is an offline app, then I can also go and download that offline application, the packages from here that I would use to create in my image or to install through sideloading on devices here. And so you'll be able to see here, I've just have a variety of apps that I've included. Some I put in the private store and some I have put in other locations. Now, one of the tricky things I've noticed here and had to step through to figure out is there's no remove from the Windows Store for Business here. There is a way to remove an application, but it's not part of the inventory workflow. As part of manage, I would click on order history. And if I wanted to remove one of those from there, you notice here's the Microsoft Power BI app that I added, purchased. I have to go to the right here and click this, and then click on the refund order there, and then click refund. And then eventually what that's going to do is that's going to remove that from that inventory page. It's just a little counterintuitive, which is why I wanted to show that. If you had an app you wanted to remove, there is a workflow to remove it, and that's the process for doing that there. Now, you can add additional users through here as well. There's a variety of ways to do that through permissioning tools, permissions of users here. And so I only have one, which is myself, set up as the global admin on my tenant, but I could add other global admins, or I could add purchasers, something different from someone who would assign it. So there's a couple different levels of people that I could add as part of this. If you create line of business applications, this is a workflow that allows you to upload those to your store or to provide permissions to the ISV or the developer that's creating that for you to upload to your private store as well, so that you have part of that as this process. There's a place to connect your management tools if you have MDM or some other method that you're going to push these applications once you've purchased it. And then finally here, I mentioned that private store information here. There's a tab here with a variety of things that you can do. This was that tab within the Windows Store that you would rename. So when I open up mine and I have private store, it doesn't say private store, but it shows a tab that simply says demo one shows. Typically what a school does is they simply put their name in there for that, and then that private tab shows whatever the name of your organization is for that settings there. And that's where those private store applications then show up for your devices. And then finally, support. If there's questions on this, there are a lot of places to go for that. And there's a couple good links online. One is taking you to the Windows Store for Business documentation. There's a video that shows this as well. Anybody can sign up for one of these too. If you simply want to test it, you're not sure about it, you can go to the page and sign up for a Windows Store for Business so that you can go through and try these types of things to see how it works for you. To get an education tenant, you have to be qualified education organization. There's a workflow for that piece as well, which gives that separate piece where you get that workflow that looks like an education specific one. So there's a variety of other sessions associated with these types of tools. Some have already happened, but I put the numbers up on here because they're online. The documentation, the PowerPoints are online as well that go through a variety of these things. There is deep dives on the Windows Store for Business. So 75 minutes of more than you could ever want to know on what we just talked about. The BRK 3086 already happened, but it should be online shortly from a video perspective, and the PowerPoint's up on that one as well. And then just a couple other general deployment sessions or Windows as a Service sessions, which are always of interest from an educational perspective. So we do have time for questions, and I'm happy to take those here, either through the microphones or if you want to hang out afterwards. Please feel free to ask those. After you do leave, please evaluate the session. Let us know thoughts, comments, anything that is of interest to you. So thank you very much, and again, I am happy to hang around for questions as well.